Beruchim Abbaim Rabotai, welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. Tonight we are studying Parashat Yitro. Tonight's Shi'ur is studied in memory of Meir Rahamim ben Avraham Avtan, Zichrono Levracha, by his son Gad Biton from Montreal. Ruach Hashem tenihenu began Eden. Amen. Our Parashat Yitro begins with Yitro, the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu, greeting his son-in-law in the Midbar. Vayikach Yitro choten Moshe et Tzipora eshet Moshe. Yitro takes Moshe's wife Tzipora, who was in Midian during Yisiyat Misraim, and after the Jews came out, now they were in the Midbar, so there's a reunion of some sort. Where Yitro now catches up with Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, he brings back Tzipora, the Pasuk says, Ve'et Shnei Baneha, also Gereshom and Eliezer, they also reunited with their father. And the Pasuk writes, Vayavo Yitro choten Moshe ubanav v'eshto en Moshe el Midbar, Ashiru chone sham hara Elohim. Vayomer el Moshe, and he tells Moshe, Ani chotencha Yitro ba'elecha, I am Yitro, your father-in-law, coming to you, v'eshtecha u'shne baneha imma. Now, if we start to analyze, that Pasuk seems superfluous. Does Yitro have to introduce himself to Moshe Rabbeinu? Ani chotencha Yitro? What, Moshe Rabbeinu forgot who Yitro was? He forgot that Yitro was the one that gave over Tzipora to him? How does Yitro think that he has to introduce himself? Why does he have to introduce? Ani chotencha Yitro? And furthermore, the whole business of Yitro is mind-boggling. Yitro was Kohen Midian, he was the priest, he was the Pope of Midian. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't find another father-in-law. He had to marry into the papal family. I mean, Tzipora is the daughter of the Pope. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu definitely could have done better, seemingly. None of us are near Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness. We don't come to his toenails, but Baruch Hashem, we married prestigious families, all of us. Miuhas, with lineage, with the proper pedigrees, we'll call them, the proper ancestry. You know, we check 10 generations back. And here, Moshe Rabbeinu, at first glance, Chas v'Shalom, you might say he settled. So this needs to be understood. And then the respect that the Torah gives to Yitro is unparalleled. To have a Perasha named after him, there's no Perashat Eliyahu Mansur. But there's a Perashat Yitro. And not only is there a Perashat Yitro, but it's the Perasha of Matan Torah. One of the most important Perashot in the Torah, he has his name highlighted in it. So you really have to go back and try to figure out this man called Yitro, what is he all about? How does he find himself in the most noble position in the world? And more than that, towards the middle of the parasha, he's advising Moshe. He becomes Moshe Rabbeinu's counsel. He tells Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, you're going to wear yourself out. It's too much work, what you're doing. You're only one man. The nation is very big. You need support. You have to appoint judges that can help you. And Moshe Rabbeinu, amazingly enough, takes Yitro's advice. And you have a whole parasha, the Torah now, that's added. An additional parasha, the parasha of the judges, which was inspired by Yitro. So not only is he just coming as a visitor to Klal Yisrael, he turns into one of the advisors of Moshe Rabbeinu, and his advice is taken seriously, and Moshe Rabbeinu institutes it. And as a result, they appoint 78,600 judges to help Moshe Rabbeinu. which is a side point, you see how great Moshe Rabbeinu was. The day before he was doing the job alone. You know, you talk about a good worker that you have in the store. You say he does the job of 10 men. He does the job of 20 men. Moshe Rabbeinu did the job of 78,600 men. Because they were his support the following day. So in order to understand what's going on over here, we must really go back to Sheshet Yemei Ma'aseh Bereshit, or actually the beginning of creation, to Perashat Bereshit. See, a lot of these episodes that we find in the middle of the Torah have their roots in the beginning of the Torah. And therefore we have to go back to study a very important episode through the eyes of Hazal. And once we figure out that episode, we have to go back and see if the story of Yitro and Moshe becomes more apparent, if it becomes more lucid to us. So let's learn together. Tonight we have to crack. Tonight we have a tremendous kelipa over here, and we have to crack it tonight in order to come to the nut in the center. We have to reach the truth over here. So we have to go slow. We have to analyze. So let's go back together. We're learning tonight. It's a limud we have to make. In Sefer Bereshit, in Perek Dalid, Ve'adam yada et Chava ishto. So Adam was with his wife Chava, Vatar v'teled et Kain. Okay, so Kain is born. Now obviously Kain is a very significant creation. He's the first child to ever be born. Vatosef laledet, she has another child, et achiv et havel. Vayi hevel ro'e son, so hevel is a shepherd, ve'kayin haya oved adama. And Kayin works the ground, he's like a farmer. Vayim miketz yamim, and it was after a certain amount of days, vayave Kayin mepiriya adama mincha la'ashem. Kain, in his greatness and in his nivu'ah, comes up with an idea that he wants to bring a korban to Hashem. Now, I want you to know that Kain did not have the book of Vayikra. Kain, on his own, came up with this concept that it's a good thing to build a mizbayach and put something on it and give it to God. If we were to live to 350,000 years, you would not think of this concept of bringing a korban. Why? Does God need a sacrifice? God wants to smoke. Kain was such a great neshama that he had. On his own, he was able to come to this truth of the whole Sefer Vayikra. So there's no question that the neshama of Kain is awesome. And he brings him in ha. Ve'hevel hevi gamu mebechorot sono me'elben. So Hevel's a copycat. Which means he's just copying Kain, which means Kain had the trademark on Korban. The OR is under Kain's name. Hevel just knocks it off. And he just makes one adjustment so he doesn't get sued. So what does he do? He brings, instead of a mincha, he brings sheep. Vayisha Hashem el Hevel ben minchato. God accepts Hevel's korban. Ve'el Kayin ve'el minchato lo sha'a. He didn't accept Kayin's korban. Ve'yihar le'Kayin me'od. And that made Kayin upset. Ve'yomer Hashem el Kayin. So God tells Kayin, Lama haralach? What are you all upset about? Ve'lama nafilu faneka halo? Im tetiv? If you better your ways, and you do right, se'et. You'll be elevated. Vayomer Kain el Hevel Ahiv. So Kain tells Hevel, his brother, Vahibi Yotam Basedan, they were in the field, Vayakum Kain el Hevel Ahav, or Ahiv, Vayargehu. And Kain rises up on Hevel, he kills him. This pasuk is missing here. It's missing the whole dialogue. Vayomer Kain el Hevel Ahiv, it doesn't say what did he tell him. It just says, and Kain tells Hevel. What does he tell him? The pasuk leaves that out. Vahibi Yotam Besedin, they were in the field, and Kain tells Hevel. But what did he say? So to that, just to get the story, we have to go to the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. And I read it to you in the original text here. אמר קין לבת הבל אחוהי, איתה וניפוק תרבינן דברה. He tells his brother, let's go outside, let's take a walk. ואבקד נפקו תרבון לברה, they both went outside, ברה's outside. ענה קין ואמר להבל. So קין tells הבל, מסתכל ענה, it seems to me, דברחמים את ברי עלמה, that God created the world with mercy. מידת הרחמים, אבל לא כפרי עובדים תבין הוא, מדבר ומסב אפין. אית בדינה, but it seems God doesn't have justice. God doesn't reward people according to the fruits of their labor. There is no justice in this world. What's Cain's claim? Min biglal ma itkabel korbanach bera'ava. Why was your korban accepted, Hevel? Ve korbani mini la itkabel bera'ava. And my korban was not accepted. Ane Hevel ve'amar. So Hevel tells back, le Cain, v'rahamim et bera'ava. You're right. God created the world with rahamim and mercy. Ukhvere ovadin tabin hum midbaru misav apin let bedina. And God does judge the world according to the deeds of human beings, and He rewards them according to the fruits of their labor. Ve'al davu pere ovade tabin medidach. My sacrifice was better than yours. Ukhdamin ledidach et kabel berahava korbani. That's why my korban was accepted better. So that whole dialogue, it was a philosophical dialogue. Does God serve the world with justice? Is the world fair? Does God reward people according to their deeds? Cain says he doesn't. I made up the concept of Korban. Why was I rejected? Hevel comes along and says, no, my dear brother, Yahzak Baruch, you did a great job, but you didn't bring a Korban that was befitting. What did Cain bring, by the way, as a korban? So the Hakamim tell us he brought Zera Pishtam. He brought flax. Anybody knows, flax is cheap material. I don't know if you remember, in the old days, when you used to get your etrog, on Sukkot, they used to wrap the etrog in flax. That's like that the mohair. It looks like the tail of a horse. Something magical, that wrapping of the etrog. Only the guy who sells it, he is able to wrap it the right way. Once you unwrap it once, it's impossible to ever wrap it again the same way that they did it. But that's for another class. In any event, that's flax. So what Cain do? He took on the mizbeah all a bunch of this etrog covering stuff. And it's not befitting. How did the Hachamim know that it was flax? Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that it was pishtam. Doesn't say that. Stam, if we're learning already, let's go back to the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayeve kain mepiri adamah mincha laHashem." The Torah says he brought a mincha. Well, usually when you hear the word mincha, mincha usually is a flower offering, flour, oil, frankincense. Look at the Targum's word. What is the word tikrufta? Tikrufta is the Aramaic word for korban. Interesting. Throughout the Torah, whenever you see the word korban, the Targum explains it tikrufta. Here it says the word mincha, and he explains it tikrufta. Why? The Targum is hinting to us over here. If you take the word korban, chof, resh, bet, nun, sofit, the first letter of korban is kof. Kof, vav, peh. Kof. Spell the word kof. You see the last letter of the kof is what? Peh. Resh. Resh, yud, shin. The last letter is shin. Bet. Bet, yud, taf. The last letter is taf. Korban, nun, nun, vav, nun, nun. The last letters of korban spells pishtam. And therefore the Targum is hinting to us. It's a minhaber, it's the krupta. Know that the korban was pishtam. And what did Hevel bring? Just by the way, he brought sheep. What's from the sheep? The wool. The wool is hashuv. That person has a suit. Nice wool suit. It's rich. It's expensive. And as a result of this disparity in the sacrifices, Cain got jealous of Hebel and killed them. Comes out, the original fight of Cain and Hebel was over wool and flax. That's why the Torah forbids shatnez. That's why we're not allowed to wear wool and linen. Because the original fight, the original machloket, the original murder came as a result of these two products of Semer u'Pishtim. And therefore God says forever these two products will not come together. To remind us that whenever you go to the store, buy a suit, make sure there's no wool, make sure there's no linen together. That reminds us of what those two products did to the destruction of mankind. We continue. So what happened? Ane Kain ve'amar le'Hevel. So Kain now did not like Hevel's answer. My korban is better than yours. He didn't accept it. He says, let din ve'let dayan. He says, there is no judge of the world and there is no judgment. Ve'let alam ahoran. And there's no olam abba. Velet lemitan agar tab the tzaddikaya, and there's no reward for the tzaddikim. Velet lemifraam in the shi'aya, and there's no punishment for the resha'im. Wow. So at this point, Hevel denies many of the fundamentals of our tradition, of our faith. Ane Hevel. Hevel comes back and says, what are you talking about, my brother? Ve'amar lekain id din ve'id dayan. There is judges and there's a judgment. Ve'it alam ahoran, and there's olam abba. Ve'it lemitan agar tav letzadikaya, and there's reward to the tzadikim. Ve'it lemitzperam in the shi'ayah, and there's punishment to the resha'im. Val esak bet gama eilen avu mitnatsyan. And on this subject they were fighting. Ve'kam kain al hevel ahohi, and then Kain rose against his brother. Ve'taba abna b'mitzchay, took a rock and he threw it at his forehead. Ve'katle, and he killed him. So now already the Targum opens up the conversation a little more for us. But we continue. Stam a question. Who did Cain and Hevel marry? Doesn't tell us really that they had sisters. So how would they procreate? How did they get married? So we got to go back to the Pesukim. The Pasuk writes, Vatar vateled et Cain. You're familiar with the et rule. There's a rule in the Torah that was given over by a great Talmid Chacham in the Gemara, one of the Tanaim. Shimon Amsoni was his name. Shimon Amsoni taught that any time the Torah says the word et, it's coming to include something. To us, et is usually an auxiliary word. It is just like a filler word. But in Torah there's no such thing as auxiliary words, extra words. Every word is counted, numbered. And the word et comes to include. So when it says vatar vateled et Cain, that means Cain was born with a twin sister. So Cain was actually a twin. And he married his sister. Now you can say, oh, it's incest. Before Matan Torah, that type of marriage was permissible. As a matter of fact, the Ramban says that logically speaking, it makes sense to marry family. Because it's the same kind, the same customs, the same way, the same minhagim, so on and so forth. The Torah forbade it, but before the Torah forbids it, it makes sense. Make a smaller wedding, you don't have two sides of families. In any event, Vatosef laledet et ahiv et havel. Interesting. When Hevel is born, it says, et ahiv et havel. It says the word et twice. Hakamim tell us that Hevel was actually a triplet. He was born with two sisters. That's the double et. Et ahiv et havel. And Hakamim tell us that amongst the politics between the two brothers with the korbanot, but there was another thing working between Cain and Hevel, and that was Cain's claim to the extra sister. He claimed, listen, I'm the firstborn. So I have my sister that I was born with, and you have yours, but there's an extra one. the Bechor gets doubled. And therefore he held that, you know, that belongs to me. So there was a fight over who gets the extra et, who gets the extra sister. And according to the Hachamim, that's one of the reasons why Cain killed Abel. He killed her for the extra, for the sister. So you see there's a lot of things in play over here. Furthermore, there's a third thing working with Cain and Abel. Hachamim tell us that, which is hard to imagine, but Cain and Abel made a deal. They said, listen, we have to split the world up. So how are we going to divide it up? Again, to me, I don't know why it has to come to this. The world is a very big place. There's only Cain, Abel, their wives, Adam and Hava. I mean, you're dealing six people on the whole planet, seven people. No, it shouldn't become a situation over there. How do you divide it? I mean, you take half and I'll take half. I mean, the war, the planet is just tremendous. But they got involved in, you know, what's mine, what's yours. They got involved in the nitty-gritty of it, which is hard to understand. Again, there has to be explanations. It's not like you're arguing, you know, with your neighbor, who gets the driveway, you know, who gets the shared driveway. And it's 2 feet over here. Is it mine? Is it yours? Is it an easement? Is it a... You're not arguing on that. You're arguing on thousands and thousands and thousands of miles. You could take 3.5 continents and you have 3.5 continents. I mean, so you're not talking about building a 40 by 100. You can build whatever you want. You have enough real estate and land, but it seems they wanted to make a deal over here of some sort. So the deal that they came up with was that Hevel, you get the metaltili. You get all the movables. All the things that are movable. And Cain gets the ground. Cain gets the real estate. And you can imagine now, such a deal, they didn't have lawyers in those days. So you could imagine the fights that came out as a result of such a contract. Because Hevel tells Cain, all right, very good. It's a deal. They shake hands. Give me your shirt. Give me my shirt. Well, the shirt is a movables. The movables are mine. So Cain tells Abel, you better start growing wings and start flying because the ground belongs to me. Get off my ground. So now, go start. You can't split it up that way. And then we learned that Abel was a shepherd. So Cain says, very good, shepherd you could be. Movables belong to you. But what are they going to eat? They're eating the grass. The grass belongs to me. It's the ground. So you better start, you know, get synthetic food somewhere. But you know, stop feeding them off the ground. You're a thief. So it became already politics between who owns what. Everybody's walking around with a contract. It's mine. You know, what does the words mean? So that also added to the mahloket between Cain and Hevel. I want you to know, we're expanding it obviously on a basic level over here. As I said in my introduction, Cain was a great man, obviously. Hevel as well. They were Baalei Ruach HaKodesh. But for our purposes, just to bring it out, what the subjects were, on a simple level, this is what it was. As a result, after Cain kills Hevel, God comes to Cain, and he tells him, "Vayomer Hashem el Cain, eh Hevel achicha, where's your brother?" "Vayomer lo yadati, I don't know." "Hashomer achi anochi." Famous last words: "Am I my brother's keeper? What are you asking me for?" I don't know. I'm not responsible. "Vayomer," and God comes to Cain and says, "Me'asita," what did you do, Cain? "Kol deme achicha so'akim elai min ha'adama." The blood of your brother, the bloods, kol deme, it's plural, the bloods of your brother, they're screaming from me, from the ground. What do you mean, the bloods? Cain, you're responsible not only for Hevel, but you're responsible for all the descendants that would have come out of Hevel. When you killed Hevel, you didn't kill one person. You're responsible for all the offspring that Hevel could have brought into the world. Demeh, the bloods are crying from the ground. Ve'ata arurata min adama. You're going to be cursed. You're going to be a nomad. Na'vanad. Cain says, Gadol avonim min neso. He says, my sin is too great to bear. And Cain is banished. And later on, the Torah tells us, Ki shivataim yukam Cain. Cain lived for 7 generations, and then he was killed. But now we begin the subject. This pasuk over here is giving us a tremendous insight on what happened with Cain. Did his death atone for his sin? Was Cain finished? Was the 7 generations of his na'banad, of his going around like a nomad, was that a sufficient atonement? Or maybe it wasn't finished? Maybe Cain needed to come back? Maybe we have to begin the Parashat Gilgul. Maybe Cain's soul was not perfected. Maybe he needed another few rounds of sifting and selecting in order for his neshama to become perfected. So the Torah tells us, Ki shivataim yukam Cain, says the Arizal on the words yukam Cain. Yukam means he will be established. Yukam Cain. Cain is going to be okay. He's going to stand upright. But not before he goes through his tikkun. And who's the tikkun of Cain? Actually, there were 3 tikkunim that Cain had to go through. He went through the Mitzri, the Egyptian. We don't know this Egyptian is yet, but he went through the Egyptian. He went through Korach, and he also went through Yitro. Ki shivataim yukam. Yukam Rashi Tevot Yitro Korach Mitzri. And now we begin a whole new derech to figure out exactly the path of the neshama of Cain, how it now goes through these different bodies to reach its ultimate tikkun. So we begin. Let's start with the Mitzri, which was his first tikkun. We go to Sefer Shemot already. The pasuk says, "Vayhi bayamim ahem vayigdal Moshe." Moshe Rabbeinu maturing. Vayetze el Ehav. He goes out to see the suffering of his brothers. Vayar besiblotam. He sees their pain. Vayar ish Mitzri makeh ish Ivri me'ehav. He sees an Egyptian man beating up one of his Jewish brothers. Vayifen kovacho, Moshe Rabbeinu looks both ways. Vayarki en ish, he sees nobody around. Vayachet ha-Misri, he hits him. Vayitmenehu b'chol, and he buries him in the sand. The next day he sees 2 Jews fighting. So he tells one of the Jews, "Hey, Rasha, lama teker e'echa, what are you hitting your friend? Put your hand down." Vayomer, he tells Moshe, "Mi samecha le'isar v'shofet alein, who died and left you in charge? Halorgeni ata omer? What, you're going to come and kill us? Like you killed the Egyptian the day before? Well, we saw what you did yesterday." Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Achen noda hadavar, oh, they're on to me." And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu had to run away. Vayishma parot adavar, vaybakesh tarok et Moshe, vayibrach Moshe mepnei faro, vayeshev be'eres Midyan. So he goes to Midyan. What happened in this episode? According to our understanding, this Misri, why was he beating up the Jew? This Misri actually had the nefesh, we'll call it, of Cain. That's what the Arizal says. He had one of the parts of the soul of Cain. And when a person is carrying the same soul, So you're going to fall into the same sins and the same avonot as the one that you inherited his soul. Why was that Egyptian beating up the Jew? That Jew was married to a lady called Shulamit Bat Dibri. Shulamit Bat Dibri was a flirtatious lady in Klal Yisrael. And this Egyptian man put his eye on her. And he went to the house early in the morning and told Shulamit Bat Dibri's husband, he's got to go to work. He kicked him out of the house. And then once he was kicked out of the house, he walked in unannounced. She thought that it was her husband coming back. He forgot his cell phone or something like that. And in the end, he violated Shulamit Bat Dibri. So therefore they were fighting. Hey, you took my wife, what are you doing? That's why they had this mahloke. So you see, just like Cain, he took the girl that didn't belong to him. So the Misri now, it's the same thing again. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes along. Who is Moshe? According to the Arizal, Moshe Rabbeinu had the neshama of Hevel. Actually, the name Moshe is Rashi Tevot. Moshe, which is his own neshama, Shet, which is another son of Adam Arishon, and the He is for Hevel. So now look what happens. You're in Egypt, and Moshe Rabbeinu is in front of the Egyptian. Again, you have Cain and Hevel standing in front of each other, deja vu all over again. And the Pasuk hints this to us, if we pay attention. The Pasuk says, Vayar ish Mitzri, make ish Ivri me'ehav. The simple interpretation is, it's the Jew was considered Moshe's brother. He saw the Egyptian beating up on one of his brethren. But the depth of the Pasuk really means, ish Ivri me'ehav. It's going back on the Egyptian. The Egyptian was his brother. Vayar ish Mitzri me'ehav. Because that was Cain. And now Moshe Rabbeinu has to settle the score in a previous lifetime. Cain killed Hevel. And now Hevel must come back and make the tikkun for him. And the Pasuk says, Vayifen ko vacho. He looks both ways. Both ways means he looked backwards, Moshe, and he looked at the episode of Cain and Hevel, and he remembered that episode, and then he looked forward, and he said, is there anybody else that can make this tikkun? And he saw that he is the final tikkun of Hevel, and therefore there's nobody else that's better to make the tikkun. So Ko, he looked backwards, he looked forwards in himself, and he said, he's the most suitable one to make the tikkun. Vayachet ha-Misri. How did he kill this Egyptian? So everybody thinks, Vayach, he gave him a blow to the head. No. According to the holy books, he killed him with the usage of one of the Shemot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What Shem is this? This is the Shem Mem Bet. There's a certain Shem, the 42-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which I'll explain it to in a moment, not that I understand it any better than you, but just to give you a little insight. So he used one of the Shemot. How do I know from the Pesukim that he used one of the Shemot, and how do I know what Shem he used? Let's go slow. The next day, what are those two Jews that were fighting with each other tell Moshe? Hal horgeni ata omer. Are you going to kill me like you said? That means yesterday, how did Moshe Rabbeinu kill the Egyptian? He said something. It was through Amira. He said, abracadabra, whatever the Shem is, but he said a Shem on him. Hal horgeni ata omer, you're going to use that voodoo on me today also? Halila, I'm not saying voodoo, I'm just saying it in the Lashon that we can understand. It's one of the Shemot HaKedoshim. Forgive me, I'm out of line by saying that. Shemot HaKedoshim. The Pasuk says, Vayitmenehu Bahol. He buried him in the hole. Why does the Torah call it hole? Why doesn't it say buried him in the Adama? The numerical value of the word hole, het vav lamid, is 42. To show you that he used the Shem Mem Bet, the 42 letter name. Now why does he use this name? What's significant about the Shem Mem Bet? For lack of a better terminology to talk on layman terms, this is Kabbalah for idiots. I'm talking about myself being the idiot. Shem Mem Bet is like an elevator. What do I mean? There is a certain Shem that has 42 letters. Where do we find this? All of you are familiar with the passage of the Anna Bechawah. There's 7 verses in the Anna Bechawah. Each verse has 6 letters. Anna Bechawah, Gidulat Yeminecha, Tatir Sirura, Kabel Renat, Amecha, Sagabenu, Tareno Rora, Nagibor, Droshe Yehodecha, Kebabat Shomrem, Barechem, Taharem, Rahameset Katecha, Tamid Golem, Hasin Kadosh, Berov, Tuvka, Nahel Adatecha, Yahid Ke'e, Lamecha Perez Ochre Kedushatecha, Shavatenu Kabel, Ushmat Sa'akatenu, Yodea Ta'alomot. Baruch Shem Kevod Malkoto Leolam Vaid. After we recite those 7 lines, we say Baruch Shem Kevod, because it's a Shem, it's the holy name of God. The Rashi Tevot of those 42 words that I just told you, they comprise the Shem Mem Bet. That's why if you look in the Anna Bechoah, right after each line you see Rashi Tevot, Anna Bechoah Gilad, you see Aleph Bet Gimal. Anna Bechoah Gilad, Yeminecha Tatit Surah, you see the Yud, the Taf, the Tzadi Sofit, you see the Rashi Tevot. Those 42 letters, we don't want to say them, so we put words, so you can understand the Rashi Tevot. What is the Shem Mem Bet? What is the significance? In this week's Haftarah, we read about the angels. The angels, it says on them that they have wings. Bishtayim yechasef anav. 2 wings covers their faces. Bishtayim yechasef aglav. 2 wings it covers their legs. Ubishtayim yeofef. And with 2 of the wings they fly. The books bring down that just like the angels have 6 wings, 4 to cover themselves and 2 to elevate themselves. When a person goes to sleep at night, his neshama is going up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's going up for judgment. It's a big trip from Olam Hazeh all the way to upstairs, light years away. So it needs to fly up. But on the way up, there's a lot of Chas V'Shalom, Mekatrigim, and interference, enemies. So the neshama needs to be protected. So how do we insulate the neshama before we go to sleep? We recite the Anna Bechawah. And every 2 words, Anna Bechawah, Bishtayim Yechase Panav, those 2 words. Gidulat Yiminecha, Bishtayim Yechase Raglav. It covers the neshama and insulates it. Tatir Sirura, Bishtayim Yaofef. It starts to go up to the neshama. Then you do it again. 2 words. Kabel Rinat. Bishtayim Yechase Panav. The neshama is insulated. Amechasa Gemenu. It's covered again. Tarenu Nora. Bishtayim Yaofef. Which is the neshama, because we don't want the Mekatrigim to affect the neshama, so we insulate it. 7 times over, and then the neshama is able to go up with the kedusha of the Anna Bechawah. That's why, lo aleichem, at a funeral, when they're bringing the body out, we say Anna Bechawah. Why? Because the neshama is going up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So by saying that shem, shtayim yechase panav, shtayim yechase of the neshama, b'shtayim yofef. That's why you're supposed to read it. Anna Bechawah, pause. Gidulat yiminecha. Pause. Tatir Sirura. It's 2, 2, and 2. Shtayim yechaseh panav, shtayim yechaseh raglav, shtayim yaofef. And that you do into the neshama every single night and at the time of the petira as well. Moshe Rabbeinu knows that he's making a tikkun on Cain. He doesn't want to kill him with a sword. Because if you kill him with a sword, you don't make the tikkun. That's the way Bil'am died. Bil'am died with a sword. Over here, Moshe Rabbeinu wants to extract the neshama of Cain and elevate it. So he went over to the body of the Egyptian, and all of a sudden the neshama just went up. He made a tikkun, at least, on part of Cain. Ve'itmineu b'chol. Incidentally, if we're talking about the Shem, you have to know as well, the Kaddish also, that we say, also is connected to the Shem Membet. Shem Membet also is like this. Hashem's name is Yud Ke Vav Ke. That's the four letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we want Hashem's name not only to be limited to the four letters. We want it to be mitpashet. We want God's name to be revealed to all the four corners of the earth. So how do you expand God's name? We've talked about this several times. You open it up. That's called the milui. Take the yud. Instead of one letter, spell it out. Yud, vav, dalid. Now I made one letter into three. Yud. He, he, aleph. Vav, vav, aleph, vav. He, he, aleph. Now I turned four letters into ten. But you know what? I want to make it even more. After I opened it up into ten letters, open each one of those ten letters. Yud, yud, vav, dalet. Open up each one. And you'll end up with 28 letters. Starts off with four, ten, and then 28. 4, 10, and 28 is 42. That's also Me'anyan Deshem Membet. That's the milui of the milui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. 4, then 10, then 20. That's why the Kaddish, Yitkadal v'yitkadash Shemei Rabbah, that's four words. That's Keneged Yud Kevavke. Be'alma, di, berach, irutevi, amnich, malkutevi, asmapur, kanevi, karem, meshicheh. That's 10. That's already the milui. Then Yeheh Shemei Rabbah Mevarach until the Amiran Be'alma is 28 words. Keneged the 28. And therefore the Kaddish is constructed. 4, 10, 28, Shem Membet. And what does the Kaddish do? Then we answer. Yeheh Shemei Rabbah Mevarach Le'alam Ulemameh Yitbarach V'yishtabach V'yitpar V'yitromah V'yitnaseh Vav, 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 Vav. 7 Vavs. 7 times 6, 42. Shem Membet. Now you understand why the people say Kaddish for the Niftar. Because the Kaddish is the Shem Membet. It elevates the soul. It's the elevator. It elevates. Shtayim yichaseh panav, shtayim yichaseh raglav, shtayim yubav. That's the Shem Membet. It's go out to elevate. That's why we say Kaddish in the Tefillah. Because after each section of the Tefillah, we want to elevate it. I'll give you an example. In the tefillah, we start off on the lowest level. Olam ha'asiyah. That's the beginning of the tefillah. Then we want to move up to the next level. Olam ha'yisira. Olam ha'yisira begins at hodu. But we need to get to the next level. So what do you do right before hodu? There's a kaddish. Thank you. Now, I'm going to get off at yisira, please. Now you get off at yisira. Yes? Now the next level we want to get to is biriyah. Briyah starts at Yosef. But I got to get up to the next level. Right before Yosef, there's a Kaddish. Thank you. Next level, one level up, please. And really, we would say a Kaddish before the Amidah, but we can't separate between Gal Yisrael and the Amidah. And then you have to say Kaddishim to go back down again. It's a downward elevator as well. But that's for a different shi'ud. Moshe Rabbeinu used the Shem Membet in order to kill the Egyptian, to elevate the Neshama of Cain. Arizal says, at that moment, it's what happened. Immediately at that moment, the nefesh of Cain that was in the Egyptian left him and went into Yitro. All of a sudden, Yitro's in Midian. At that moment, boom, he feels a jolt. On that day, Yitro made teshubah. Something happened to his neshama, he got upgraded. He felt something come into him and he accepted upon himself Hashem Yitbarak, he accepted upon himself the oneness of God. And he alludes to this. Yitro himself, the Pasuk says, there's much to say. The Pasuk says, when Moshe Rabbeinu sees the girls at the well, they come to their father, Yitro, Re'u'el, they called him. He had seven names. Vayomer, Madua mihartem bo hayom. Yitro makes a statement, Beruach HaKodesh. Madua can mean, why? Why did you come home so early today, he tells the girls. You came home from the well very quickly. But Madua also comes from the Lashon Biyadua. It's known. Yadua, it's understood. Mihartembo is Rashi Tevot Membet. Mihartembo Hayom. Today, somebody used the Shem Membet. And as a result of it, I got an upgrade in my Neshama. The Neshama of Kain came into me. And on that day, Yitro made Teshubah. And the Tikkun continues. And then it says, Yitro not only made a tikkun on the nefesh of Cain, that's when he reneged on the Avodah Zarah, but he made a tikkun on the neshama of Cain. When was that? The pasuk says, Vayiten et Sipora bito leMoshe. He gives Sipora to Moshe. Who is Sipora? Sipora was the extra twin that was born. Cain now, hundreds of years later, makes the tikkun and he returns Sipora to Moshe. He gives the extra twin back to heaven. This belongs to you. It's not mine. Hence the tikkun of Cain's neshama is completed by Yitro. That's why, just as a point, Yitro had seven names. Moshe had seven names. Somebody once said, how do you know that Cain, how do you know that Yitro was on welfare? Because he had seven names. In any event, you see over here, interesting. Cain and Hevel, Moshe and Yitro, they're actually brothers. Both have seven names. The Torah alluded to this. Ki shivataim yukam Cain. When is Cain going to be established? With the sevens. There's going to be two people that are going to have seven names. And that's when the tikkun of Cain is going to come. Ki shivataim, with the sevens. Moshe has seven names and Yitro has seven names. They're actually brothers. Sipora's the extra twin sister, she's given over. One of Yitro's names, interesting, was Kenny. Today you heard of the name Kenny. The first Kenny was Yitro. He was called Kenny. Why was he called Kenny? Kenny is the same letters as Cain. Keni actually is Rashi Tevot backwards. Keni, Yitro, Nefesh Kayin. Yitro, Neshama Kayin. Because Yitro made the tikkun on the Nefesh and the Neshama. Hence his name Keni. Can we go a little further just to open this up? Now we understand when Yitro comes along to the girls and says, you came from the well early today. Madua miartem navo. So Yitro's alluding, yeah, the Shem Membet, something took place today. So the girls agree, they say yes. Ish Mitzri hitzilanu. Ish Mitzri, an Egyptian man saved us? Wasn't an Egyptian man. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't an Egyptian man. Why did they say Ish Mitzri Hitziranu? Because they understood the tikkun was made with the Ish Mitzri. Now the ball's in our court. Now it's shifted to us. Once the Ish Mishri saved us, which means that settled the tikkun of Kayin. Now there's no more jealousy. Now that one of us can marry this man. You can give whichever one is the one that belongs to heaven. But the Ish Mishri is handled now. Now there's no more jealousy between the brothers. So Yitro says 100% Kerein lo. And what's the language that he uses? Vayomer el benotav ve'ayo. The word ve'ayo sounds very similar to a word in the Basuk in Bereshit. When God tells Cain, Ehevel achicha, where is your brother? Now Yitro comes along and says, ve'ayo, where is he? That was the tikkun. When he comes, I don't know where he is. Now he's like, where is he? We bring him, where is he? In the first round, you came along and said, I don't know where he is. Now he's searching him. Hey, ve'ayo, ehevel achicha. Torah continues. As Torah tells us, what is Moshe Rabbeinu doing for Yitro? Pasuk writes, Torah tells us, Umoshe haya ro'e etzon Yitro. Choteno. Moshe Rabbeinu was a shepherd. He was a Ro'e Tzon. Just like he was in the first Gilgul. Hevel was a Ro'e Tzon. Moshe Rabbeinu did the same thing in the second Gilgul. But look what the Pasuk says. Vayinhag et Tzon ahar hamidbar. What does the Pasuk have to tell us where he grazed the sheep? What's the difference? He did it in the Midbar? Oh, it's such an important fact that I need the location, I need the GPS, I need the coordinates, where exactly he did the shepherding. Mashpati, if he did it in the Midbar, or if he did it in the city. What's the Torah have to go out of its way say Midbar? Because if you remember, one of the claims that Cain had against Hevel was, hey, it's my land. Get off my land. So in this case, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is Hevel, takes the sheep and he goes to the Midbar. The Midbar is Hefker. The Midbar is ownerless. Even according to Cain, you have no claims over there. So he wanted to make the ultimate tikkun. You had claims on me in the first round. My sheep were eating your fields. I'm going to go far off the trodden path. And the Midbar, that's considered no man's land. So Torah is telling us, Moshe Rabbeinu was careful this time around. You see, everything is precise. Shelo la'anot min ha'gezel. Now we go to our parasha. Our parasha begins. Vayikach Yitro choten Moshe et Zipora eshet Moshe. He does it again. He comes back to the Midbar and brings Zipora back. Ve'et shnei baneha, but this time he adds something. He brings back the two children. Because if you remember, God had claims against Cain. Kol deme achicha sohakim elai min ha'adama. Not only did you kill Hevel, but you killed the bloods, the future bloods that are going to come out. Now Yitro has to fix that also. So doesn't he only give back Sipora, but he gives back descendants. Bechne baneha. He gives back the children. That's a tikkun for that. And then the Pasuk comes along and says, Vayavo Yitro choten Moshe banav v'eshto, Vayomer el Moshe, Ani chotencha Yitro. Says the Arizal, Ani chotencha Yitro, Rashi Tevot, Achi. Ani chotencha Yitro, I am your brother. He's telling him, listen, this is what's fixing the whole world over here. Before we receive the Torah, we have to make the tikkun ha'olam. We have to rectify sins that are outstanding. Now everything's falling back into place. Here's Sipora, that's the extra twin sister. Here's the twins. Here's the children. That's the kol demaricha. But it's not done yet. What about the korban? So the pasuk says, Vayikach Yitro choten Moshe ola uzbahim lelohim. He brings a sacrifice. No more pishtan. No more flax. Olaus bahim. And his korban is accepted. He fixes the tikkun of that. But there's one last thing that's outstanding. Yitro comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and gives him advice. You need to appoint judges. From where does he get such an idea? Because Kayin is the one that said, Let Din Velet Dayan. The one that comes along and says, there is no judge, there is no judgment, how are you going to fix that? So Kayin comes along and says, you need to appoint judges. There is judgment, there is judgment. You need to have a court system, you need to have Dayanim, there is truth, there is reward and punishment. That's the tikkun of Yitro, that's the tikkun of Kayin. It had to come from him. Moshe Rabbeinu was waiting for the idea, he knew this is the tikkun. He has to hear it from his brother. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu institutes it immediately. Because that's the tikkun he has to make. But listen how wonderful it is. What's the claim that Yitro tells Moshe? Why do you have to appoint judges? Because if you don't, my dear brother, Nabol Tibol, you're going to wear yourself out. It's going to kill you. In the first life, Cain kills Hevel. In the second, he's involved in preserving his life. I don't want you to die. Navol Tibol, you're going to wear yourself ragged. He gives him advice for preservation of life in order to fix what he did previously. Again, there's much to say on this. We're just scratching the surface. We didn't get anywhere tonight. There's much more to say on this subject, but at least you have a derech now. You have a new concept of what's going on. That answers our original question. Yitro should become the father of Moshe. It had to be this way. Well, he's going to marry the Pope's daughter. It had to be this way. This is tikkun olam. There's no other option. But I want you to know one last thing, and I'll conclude with this. Really? It shouldn't have got this far. Really, according to the first plan, there was somebody that had the ability to make the tikkun on Cain himself. And it would have been the done deal. It shouldn't have got to the Mitzri. It shouldn't have got to Yitro. It could have been solved with one man. You know, that was also a firstborn. The firstborn son of Yaakov Abinu, Reuven. The books bring down, Reuven had the ability to fix Cain. You know why? Because Yaakov Abinu had the neshama of Adam HaRishon, as we learned in a previous class. And if Yaakov Abinu was shufred to Adam, like the Zohar said, that means Reuven is Cain, his firstborn son. He had the chance to make the tikkun. But what happened? Because he mixed the beds of his father, what does Yaakov tell him? Reuven, Bechori Ata, you're my firstborn. You should have made the tikkun of Cain, it should have been done. But instead, Yeter Se'et. Who's Yeter? Yeter is one of the names of Yitro. Yitro is one of his seven names. Instead of you making the tikkun, Yeter Se'et. You know what se'et means? Se'et is a reference to the neshama. Like David HaMelech says in his Tehillim, Elecha Hashem nafshi esa. Nafshi esa. Se'et is the nefesh. Yeter, Yitro is going to fix the nefesh. Ve'yeter az. Ve'yeter is otiyot Yitro. Yitro is going to fix the az. Az is the neshama. You had a chance, Reuven, but instead, Yeter said, the Se'et, the Nefesh is going to be done by Yeter, Ve'yeter Az, and the Neshama is going to be. And that's why that happened this way. Once you start understanding what we're saying here, the Torah is opened up. We come along and we're humbled in front of this. We come along and say, what do we know? We're reading the Chumash for 50 years. Where's this written? Where did this happen? How come they didn't teach us this? How come we didn't know this? And I'm telling you again tonight, we didn't do anything. We just tonight dabbled a little with concepts to create a path. But we're not even two steps on the path. You can't imagine how deep this concept, which means what's happening in Parashat Yitro is actually the sequel of Parashat Bereshit. You can't learn Parashat Bereshit without learning Parashat Yitro. You don't know Parashat Bereshit until you get to Parashat Yitro. You can't understand it. And you can't understand Moshe with the Misri, with Shemim. You can't understand. You have to learn them all. It's all linked. It's all connected. And there's 1,000 more links that we didn't put together tonight. But this already answers the one question that we set out to answer. How did Moshe marry Sipporah? He had to. That was a tikkun. Hebel had to take back his sister. It was his. And it had to be given back by the Pope, by Yitro. And it was only able to happen this way. Yidatzon, we have zechut, that just like we were able to uncover the nifla'ot, the wonders of the Torah, gal einai ve'abita nifla'ot metoratecha, David HaMelech says, Hashem should open our eyes, where we should see the wonders and the brilliance and the radiance of our Torah. Yidatzon, we should be zocheh to this beracha. Amen.